Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord is risen indeed. Interesting, though, because you don't see him at all in today's gospel reading. His absence is rather curious, given that we are all gathered here virtually, celebrating his resurrection. Yes, the Gospel of Mark begins in the usual way we've come to expect. It's early Sunday morning. Followers of Jesus go to anoint his body. The stone covering the tomb, it's rolled away. The tomb is empty. These disciples are told that he has been raised from the dead. They are sent out to tell others, and they are beckoned to go and meet Jesus themselves. The details familiar to so many of us, they're all right there. Then the story takes an unexpected and rather abrupt turn. This is what comes next. You just heard it. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Then the gospel ends, period. Not just our reading for today, mind you, but quite possibly the whole book. In the earliest manuscripts of Mark, there is nothing else written after this line. Nothing. That's it. Only in later copies of the gospel were additions made. Maybe this ending rubbed someone the wrong way, and so now there was a shorter ending added and a longer ending. And you can look in your own Bibles and see those. Originally, though, in its original form, Mark is the only gospel where Jesus never makes a post-resurrection appearance. This morning on Easter Sunday, Mark leaves us not with the resurrected Jesus, but the fear and amazement and confusion of his followers, as they are told to go out and meet Jesus, but they are not quite sure what to do about it. I rather like this. It may sound odd, but I rather like this ambiguity. I like the uncertainty of this cliffhanger ending. And I wonder even, could this have been Mark's point? Is it possible even that the writer intends to be open-ended? Because the story really has no end. In this final line, which seems baffling, it definitely feels incomplete, is Mark actually leaving us with an invitation? Is this gospel beckoning us? Is this gospel beckoning that the resurrection continue in those who follow Jesus? That the story might continue in us? Is it telling us in this way, is it telling us that this is part of the power of the resurrection? Not as much in that stone that was rolled away, not as much in that empty tomb, as it is in the testimony of those who live out Jesus' resurrected life within their own. Might this be pointing to resurrection as needing to be proclaimed within those situations which Mark speaks of, those situations where Mark ends the original gospel, situations of despair, fear, situations which feel like death. Mark knew these things firsthand. As he wrote his gospel, he was in a world and in a society where he experienced these things, and we know them as well. Too well, perhaps. Each one of us might have different situations in mind. I'd ask you to recall now. It's probably not hard. Call to mind situations, places, people, relationships in need of God's gift of life, God's gift of renewal, restoration, reconciliation, resurrection. I've many of these situations on my heart and mind this sunny Easter morning. I think of the rise in violent attacks on people of Asian descent in our country these past weeks, as we learn once again that words do matter, and the past year of a president, among others, spewing hatred is doing exactly what it was intended to do, with heartbreaking frequency. And so my heart does go out to our sisters and brothers of Asian descent, being persecuted on the streets as they are. On my mind and my heart are over 20 mass shootings just within the last 2 weeks. A uniquely US-American crisis of our own making. The humanitarian crisis at our southern border calls out for resurrection. The Jim Crow-style racist voter suppression by the state of Georgia, as well as other states attempting to do the same, is calling out for God's liberatory, life-giving power. I call to mind as well, as I think of those things needing life and restoration, I think of the rollout of the vaccine in our own state of Massachusetts and how, from the very beginning, it favored those who are white. It favored those who have financial resources, while largely ignoring and further marginalizing underserved populations. My heart breaks at the way the vaccine rollout further, in such a stark way, demonstrated the inequity, racism, and classism that are part of white supremacy, and even unconsciously structure our society and still structure our own communities. These are ones I call to mind this morning and called to mind this week as I thought of Mark's gospel lesson to us. Situations that cry out for God's life-giving power of resurrection. You, I'm sure, have others. Some very close to home, I imagine. It might not seem like the best topic to talk about these things on the Sunday of the Resurrection. Even from your own living rooms, some of you might be dressed in your Sunday best. And we want a feel-good message. But thanks be to God, this is exactly and especially the time we should call to mind those things needing God's life-giving power. Our gospel tells us that the ending which looks incomplete, the ending which seems uncertain, the ending which feels excruciatingly painful, can be the opportunity. It can be the opportunity for something new and life-giving to flourish. Our gospel tells us this morning that in God, that which looks like failure or tragedy or death can be an invitation. It can be an invitation to further, to continue the reality of Jesus' resurrection in the flesh, in concrete ways. How are you going to be part of this? During the years I lived in Ecuador, in part, I worked with the Latin American Council of Churches. And we would often pray a particular Franciscan blessing, which I feel speaks to the power of the resurrection within and through us. Even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances, not just when those things are going well. I hope we experience this as well, but we would pray this blessing with parents. Parents who had lost children, disappeared and assassinated by dictatorships. We pray with rural subsistence farmers whose water was being taken or contaminated by corporations. With communities strangled by economic blockade or civil unrest. We pray with those caught in our common shared experience of sorrow and grief. I've shared it with you before, though it's been quite a while. The blessing is this. It may not sound like a blessing at first, but bear with me. May God bless you with discomfort. Que Dios te bendiga con la incomodidad. May God bless you with discomfort about easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may love more deeply within your heart. May God bless you with anger. Que Dios te bendiga con la ira. May God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears. Que Dios te bendiga con lágrimas. May God bless you with tears so that you are able to shed them with those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, or war, so that you may be able to reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. And may God bless you with foolishness. Y que Dios te bendiga con locura. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world so that you are able to do what others claim cannot be done. Sisters and brothers, God desires to make these things known to us and through us. The life-giving power of self-giving love, the building of justice and peace, the reconciliation of relationships, deep joy, and our own transformation over and over again. God desires to continually transform our hearts, our lives, our communities, even our society, as broken as it is. Let us further open ourselves to these things. At times, yes, we may feel like those followers of Jesus we hear about today, and there's good reason for that. Overwhelmed, they flee from the tomb in fear and confused silence, understandably so. And we know that this is not the last word. God can use and transform this as well. We know that soon after they flee, these same disciples are openly proclaiming Jesus' resurrection with their word and their lives. It makes the story that much more powerful. Mark's open-ended gospel is an invitation. Let us see it as an invitation this morning for us to take our part in this story, alongside Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, the empty tomb, that word that Jesus has been raised, it's only the start. Like them, we are invited to go out and meet Jesus within ourselves, within each other, within all those unexpected ways that Jesus appears. We are called to live his resurrected life within our own. Sisters and brothers, let us go out to meet him. And let us practice resurrection together. Amen.